loud as loud. You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM from the Burnaby campus. We are on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Quaquitlam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. I'm your host, Katie. And yeah, this is my open mic. And today is such an exciting interview I have for you guys. It is not live. It was pre-recorded on the second floor of the library. If you know, you know. We love the study rooms there. And this is with an amazing local filmmaker, Jonas Kevinche, and someone who I actually had on earlier on this radio show, Adele Tremblay, who's a photographer, but she's also the actor in this short film we're going to be interviewing about. It's called Francistein. You can find it on Yoni Macaroni, Y-O-N-Y, then Macaroni. And we're going to be talking about how he came up with the idea and what his process was and what it's been like looking back on it. And I think this is just such an important interview to listen to for just any artist out there trying to do things DIY and like trying to fit in, making schedules, especially when you're young and everyone's so busy and doing different things. And also, it's just so nice to hear how much the idea changed throughout his process, that even sometimes on set, he would be rewriting the script. And I think that's just so inspiring for anyone who feels nervous to start, because it's important to remember that, you know, even if you've started already, you can still change it as you go. So without further ado, here is the first part. Oh yeah, we have it in three segments. So I'll be back talking to you a bit soon, but here's the first part where we're just talking about how the idea came to be.
It is January 31st, the eve of Francistein release.
2026.
And I'm sitting here with the director, Jonas.
Hello.
And the actor and cinematographer and makeup artist, Adele.
Hi.
And also me, the actor, Katie. Because we're all in it. So, just before this, once this is out, you'll be able to watch it on the YouTube channel. What's the YouTube channel name?
Yoni Macaroni.
Yeah, so look it up on Yoni Macaroni.
There's gonna be links to it too. Or just search up Francistein. That's probably the best way to find it, because I don't think there's anything else called Francistein.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so to start off this interview, we're going to talk about the idea just and how it started, because I think it started around like 2 years ago. We were still in high school, and I remember the other day I was listening to Car Seat Headrest, and it made me think of the quotes that you had in it, and just, I was wondering, like, so what did Francistein look like at that moment when you had just started it?
So when it begun, it was nothing, it was barely like how it is now, when it is watched, if you've seen it, which I recommend before this interview. There was no dream sequences at all. There was no dreams, I remember that. And it was about a girl who had gotten into a car accident, and she has this nurse that takes care of her, and there's the nurse is like kind of evil. Well, she thinks the nurse is evil. But at the end, it turns out that her brother is evil, and that her brother is, like, holding her hostage rather than the nurse.
Which is nothing like the film is like now.
No, it is not
at all.
And
she was a ballerina, too.
Oh, and she was a dancer, and she wanted to get back into dancing ballerina. So that was the original idea in 2024, 23.
Yeah, it was before we graduated, yeah. So, yeah, 23, 24.
Yeah,
year.
24, yeah. That was a while ago. That was a long time ago. And the original plan was I had this camcorder and I was gonna shoot it in a month in my basement. And it was just a whole different idea at the time. Nothing like how it is now.
So even though like you changed this idea so much, like what made you stick with it?
What made me stick with the idea was that I worked on it for so long that I felt like I couldn't not make it at a point. And around a year ago now is when I actually finished the script. And at that point, it was about roughly like a year of writing. So I just felt like I couldn't abandon the fact that I made like 8 drafts for this script and that it changed so drastically that I still had this grand idea. And I just felt like I owed it to myself to make this film and to get it done. And yeah, that's why it got made. I didn't expect it to take so long to get made, but that's how everything goes, I guess.
And then, like, through all of the changes you made, what do you think is, like, the through line? Like, what was important that you kept?
What was important was Chrysanthemum, the character, I guess.
That's Adele.
That's me. I'm Chrysanthemum.
And her relationship with her brother, Gene. It changed a lot throughout the scripts, but I felt like that was the most important part of the movie. Other than that, everything else got thrown out the window. There was a lot of stuff that I thought was important that ended up not being important. For example, the nurse, that was, I think, I don't know how many drafts I wrote, but if I wrote 8 drafts, that would have been in 7 of the drafts. The final draft is when I scrapped the nurse because I realized that the story just was not going anywhere with the nurse. It was a very complicated character that really made no sense through it.
Yeah, I remember us, like, we were, like, laying outside in the grass and we were talking about it. And you, like, slowly decided that maybe the nurse's, like, the most important part of the nurse was her relationship with Chrysanthemum, which you kind of became, like, the brother, his relationship with Chrysanthemum. And, mm-hmm. like, scratching, you didn't need these 2 characters, you could just make them into one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, actually, yeah, I did combine them, so that was kind of where it went after that.
Yeah. And then, like, Adele, for you, as you were, like, reading the script and it's, like, multiple different versions, like, how did your, like, perceptions of, like, the character you played change? Like, did that...
Well, at first, when he, like, told me the idea for the film, I wasn't... Like, he didn't have any actors in mind, so I actually wasn't of a character, but I really liked, like, the idea of the film. And also, I used to be a ballet dancer, so I guess that when she was a ballerina... That made sense.
You were considered it from the beginning, though.
Yeah, once you start writing. Yeah. But I think reading, and then once he decided, like, I'll play Chrysanthemum, reading like the first script that I read, which had the nurse, I thought it was really interesting, and I remember thinking we should do something with like their bond, so they actually, you know, they have like a connection and something throughout the film, they grow, and then there were so many different scripts, and then at the end when it was like the brother. I thought, like, the relationship between them was the most important thing, and her, like, relationships with the other characters, and how she felt so lonely. In the end of the script, if you've watched the short film, then you can see that she's so lonely, and I thought that was, like, one of the most important characteristics of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So those are, like, my big questions about your idea process, so I was wondering what your notes were, if you had any.
What I wanted to talk about was just the process. Is that like part 2 or is that?
Oh yeah, that's part 2. Okay, now we're gonna listen to some music and we'll be back to talk about the process of Frances Stein.
Slow burning. health system under strain. Going digital can help heal our healthcare. From virtual visits for everyday concerns to faster, more accurate diagnostics powered by AI, technology is transforming care. Digital Health Canada supports the people and innovations behind this change. Learn more at digitalhealthcanada.com and subscribe to our podcast.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. That song we just played was The Illusion Part 2 by The Black Lips, which is probably one of my favorite songs we have in the CJSF rotation right now. I feel like there's not a lot enough songs with piano. But anyways, we were also, just before that, listening to my interview with Jonas and Adele about the process of making Francis Stein and just how he came up with this idea. But yeah, now next we're going to get a bit more into just what that looked like, like creating this film. So let's take a listen to what he has to say. If there is anything to say.
And we're back with Tony and Adele.
Hi.
We just had talked about how he came up with the idea for Francis Stein. Now we're going to get into the process. So Jonas, just tell us a bit about
There's a couple things that I never touched on that got cut from the final script that I thought were interesting. There's a lot of stuff. I made up this. There was supposed to be a war overseas that was supposed to happen in the film. And I did a lot of like animation and stuff that was supposed to appear on the TV, which it did actually when we did the filming, but I re-recorded all the TV stuff like way, way later, like almost a year later in post. And so that was an original thing. Also, Francis was supposed to have a giant speech at the end. And when I was in editing, I was like, I don't know why I did that. Like,
yeah, no, we recorded the speech and I did the whole thing. And I remember, like, as I was reading it, it felt very, like, abstract.
it was too, like, okay, how do I end this? Yeah. So then I put this stupid speech at the end, which...
I think, yeah, the speech is, like, the remnants of car seat headrest. It was very obscure.
It was definitely, I'm glad I scrapped that. And finally, there was a very small side plot that was probably in one or two of the scripts with the cat. And she hears a cat die outside Chrysanthemum, so she goes out. There's this cat that gets run over outside the house, and it's referenced a couple times in the intro of the script, that script at least. And when she goes out, she finds the cat and she brings it in, and the cat, like, supposedly comes alive and, like, talks to her, but she, like, sleeps with the cat. And that was weird, and I never put that in, because I was like, what am I writing? this is another film on its own. My God, this is too much. And so why I changed a lot of these things is because I realized there was just like I said, when I'd put things in, like the cat, I realized, like, this is a whole other film. This is not, there's too many ideas going on. I'm clumping too many things on rather than building onto an original idea. And so this is why it took so long to write and to make, because I sort of wasn't able to build a clear path for myself. I was struggling with constantly thinking, like, oh, okay, well, I just read Pet Sematary, that's why I put the cat thing in. Like, I'm like, oh, I just did this, or I read this, or I listened to this song, like, I'm gonna do something that's related to that because it's so cool. Like, I wasn't thinking about the story, rather I was thinking about how many things can I lump into this one project. And I wasn't on a strong path, a clear path at least. Anyways, those were a couple of, those are the last things I did with the script. But going on to the beginning of production. So I finished the script and I just started film school and I met some people, in film school. And I met one guy and he was gonna be my cinematographer. And I was like, oh, sweet, he had a nice camera. The camera I actually have right now, which is the story behind that. So he had a nice camera, and he was good at color grading, all this cool stuff. And so I had him secure. I was really happy with that. And then, but I was still thinking, when am I going to start shooting? When am I going to do this? And I got a sound guy, too, Tristan, who I did credit in the film because he did come for one day. but I'll go through that later. Anyway, so I was in the dining hall area of my school chatting about it, just like about that I was going to start it, and this guy, Logan McKenzie, who I tagged, or I put in the credits, he's like, hey, I'm trying to be a first AD, which is a first assistant director, which is first assistant director kind of on set. They sort of, they get things moving. They make sure everyone's on track. They do a lot of the planning and a lot of that stuff. So he was like, I'm trying to be a first assistant director. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, if you could help me with my film. He's like, yeah, I'd love to. He's like, as long as you got like your stuff together, because the last film I worked on was a bit of a mess, and like it'd be nice if like, I was like, yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
He was like, okay, well, he kind of overlooked that, and he started planning the shoot days, and we got together, and he's like, okay, so I have these days planned for this part. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not ready at all. And he was planning all these things. And the thing is that I would never be ready. If he didn't plan these things, we wouldn't be like sitting here right now. The film would not be done. I don't even know if there would be a film. And because he was like, okay, we're gonna shoot on these days. And that was the extent of his first ADing. After that, he went on to different projects. But him planning those rough that first week made me go, oh my God, I gotta do this. And that started the very first week of filming, which I'm very, very grateful for. Very grateful to Logan. I don't know if he's gonna listen to this, but if he does, that actually genuinely started the film up. That's like what made the film, the production begin, was just that somebody telling me, you gotta start shooting. And so yeah, the first week.
Oof, the first week.
That was rough. That was very. That wasn't that rough, but it was.
It was just a lot because we were doing it all week.
It was right? Rough. Yeah. It was rough. Second day we had the Tristan on for sound.
First and second, yeah.
Yeah, first and second we had Tristan on for sound, and I was just so anxious about the film and so anxious about people like helping me work on it, and he had to come out really far, and I just was like really nervous, and I was barely sleeping, I remember, because I was just so anxious about it. I don't know why. And Katie's dad was letting us use their house, and very generously, because he was like moving stuff around that I needed moved around and stuff. They moved their whole TV out of the way.
Yeah, for that week we had the whole like all the windows covered in tarp, and it was a very depressing house.
Yeah, it was like dark. It was dark place.
Yeah, and like that time I was really sick during that time, so I was just like, I was in a haze that whole week.
We like removed all your beautiful family photos. Yeah. I just put up one lonely mirror that got covered up with newspaper.
It was the Great Depression.
And there was like an old TV that didn't even play, and your entire kitchen was like removed with stuff. And yeah,
it was a mess, and I was super stressed. And Adele was there every single day,
yeah,
putting in just as much work as I was, and we were both grinding away. And yeah, Katie was helping out, even though she was butt sick.
Butt booty sick.
And so it was a really crazy, hectic week. But those were the hardest shots we needed. And we hammered those out and got those done. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I remember on like the fourth day, or yeah, like one of the last days of filming, we did, if you watch the film, which you should because now we're talking about it and you're getting a bunch of spoilers, we did one of those scenes where I was like really panicked. It was at the end of the film where my character was really starting to lose it, and I had to do like where I was running around the house stressful, and I still had like this like thing strapped to my leg that's like a limp, and we had to reshoot it a bunch of times. And my character is like super emotional.
About 9 times, yeah.
Yeah, super emotional, really distressed. She's freaking out, she's panicking. I have to drop stuff and yell over and over again. And I remember after filming that over and over and over again, after doing a full day of filming, I was so tired. And then after that, we had to film the scene where I cry in front of the television. Oh, and I was like, oh, I'm so tired. And I went home and had like the best sleep of my life after. I was so dead. And the next day we had to film again, and I was like, oh, I'm so tired.
it was a lot. I'm super grateful for you coming out and like doing that. Oh my God. That was like after a whole day of filming too.
Yeah.
That wasn't like we had that one day to do it. That was after, and I ended up cutting up that one take.
Yeah.
Anyway, I cut into parts. But I think it still has the effect.
Yeah.
But
Because it was originally just going to be one shot.
Yeah, so it was like a whole like 1 minute and 30 second shot. Yeah.
And that's probably one of my favorite shots in the film.
It was all worth it.
I think it's the most powerful scene in the movie.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And so, yeah, that was a great performance.
Do you think that, like, her awful tiredness, like, added to the power?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, like, real.
Well, I'm not that great an actress, so I was okay. I'm okay, right? But I think, yeah, being tired probably helped after that scene, like, after a while.
I think so. I think being exhausted and being tired, I don't think adds to a performance though, so just advice don't exhaust your actors.
I was fine. I slept when I was okay.
So yeah, I'm super glad you stuck with me. Yeah, and like I would have rather done it on a completely different day and had you be fully energized, but that was just the time we had.
So at that point, it was pretty much everyone that you talked about that was helping us had kind of left us.
Yeah, it's just us.
No fault of theirs.
It's just hard to organize and like, it was like, yeah, it was just rough. But anyways, I was wondering if you kind of enjoyed that it was ended up just being like you and your friends making it, like you and Adele, like Amelie was there that day.
I loved having you guys there, but if I could have a crew, I would be 10 times happier. But, like, your guys' help, like, really, really, like, was the reason the film came together. And it was really fun working with you guys, just, like, as friends.
Yeah.
And just generally having a crew of people I knew and just, like, being able to, like, I don't know, it was good. But I found I wasn't able to focus on directing you guys as actors much because I was focus on everything else. By the time we got behind the camera, I should roll, but I just wanted to get the shot done.
Yeah.
So I think it would be lovely. I'm definitely, in the next film, I'm gonna make it a lot shorter and I'm gonna have a bigger crew. And that's my biggest learning.
Yeah, I think also because it ended up being just us at the end, like there wasn't a cinematographer originally, right? Like, I mean, there was that guy who tried, but he didn't actually show up.
Oh my God.
Photographer.
Yeah, wait, right, I didn't even touch on that. So he was supposed to show up for the first week and bring the camera, and he was busy that week. And I was like, oh my God, we gotta shoot, though. And so I asked him what camera he had. It was a Sony Alpha A6400. Look, I know nothing about cameras. And I was like, okay, you have this camera, it looks nice, and I care a lot about this project. And so I went on Marketplace and hunted down for a camera, found the exact camera that he had, went out, and I bought it. It was probably the most expensive and quickest thing I've ever bought in a small period of time. Of course, it was a good purchase. It was a great purchase. And it carried the whole film.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's how I got my camera. It was a moment of heat and stress.
And because there like wasn't a cinematographer, I guess throughout the film, I just slowly took up the job.
You kind of did. I low-key didn't credit you as a cinematographer.
Well.
But, like, I gotta re-export it anyway, so just keep... I will.
Because, like, I've been doing photography for 6 years. I guess never. Well, yeah, I've been doing photography for, like, 6 years, so I already know how to do cinematography, and I kind of have the eye for it, so when we were doing it, I was just kind of like, move it a little bit this way, do a little bit of that, and then I guess throughout...
You saved a lot of the shots.
I just kind of... took over because there was nobody who really was like actually practiced on doing that.
Yeah,
so I just certainly did eventually, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that like directing Jonas? Because like Jonas has the camera and you're in the shot. So how were you like directing Jonas?
It was just like behind the camera a little. He did do it, right? Like, but there were shots where we were trying to plan it out, and I was like, just move it a little bit this way. Just like looking at it when we weren't shooting, and then once we were shooting, like. He knows what he's doing, and he did it all, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then also for the process, Adele, I was curious about, like, your approach with acting as well, or if there is an approach.
I mean, like, I like acting, and it's fun, but I don't want to go through it as, like, a career. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just, like, was having fun with it. I like film. I like doing that whole thing, so it was just fun. I was just... Also, I'm, like... not that negative of a person, and Chris Anthem is.
Mm-hmm.
so So I was trying to be more her, but watching it back, I was like, I definitely could have done better. Mm-hmm. But I still like